I'm not going to really recap much from last time because I want to get into, I want to make sure we have time to get to some stories and kind of talk through those. But the position of your heart to be able to hear the voice of God, having a voice, a heart of humility, and allowing yourself the freedom to get it wrong, that's a big, it's a big part of it. Just allow yourself the process of learning. Enjoy the process. Enjoy the journey. We want to arrive. So often we just want to arrive. I've got it. And right before we started here, I was talking to David, and it just came out. I didn't think about it earlier, but I said, yeah, back then you didn't know what you didn't know. And it's like, man, I don't know today what I don't know yet. And that's good. That's okay. That's part of, you know, we haven't arrived, but we're on the way. We're getting there. I definitely have learned something. I'm not the same as I was yesterday. And 2 Corinthians 5, again, you know, old things have passed away. That's not just a one-time thing. That's yesterday has passed away, and today is a new one. Today is a new day. This is new things that the Lord wants to show you. And so the heart of love versus fear. Remember talking about that God never leads by fear. He only leads by love. That this is about relationship with God. It's not just the formula of I hear him and I do what he says and it works out. It's like, That's placing an order online. Like, you want something, you go find it online and you put in your credit card number and you click submit and it shows up because the process works. That's not what we're talking about. This isn't just about getting the right answers to have a good life. So often, I think that's what our heart is. We want to hear from God because it works out for us. Understand, your heart is for yourself in that case. It's not for him. And so the challenge here is to seek his heart and not just his hand. Seek what's really in his heart, not just how it works out good for you. Or even if you have a word for someone else, not just how it works out good for someone else. That's not the purpose of hearing God's heart. That makes sense? The purpose of hearing his heart is to hear his heart, is to connect with him. It is relationship with him. It's the journey that he is interested in. So in that perspective, with that in your heart, it does free you up to enjoy each step that you learn, each part of the process where you're not just about the destination, you're walking in step with him. And I think that's really what David showed in the Psalms. If you read Psalms, you can follow the process of David going after God's heart, encountering him, and enjoying the journey. So think more like an old person than a young person, and it'll make more sense. I think about this because the Lord has shown me something. I am to do something completely new. I'm going to start a new chapter in my life when I turn 80. And I know this already. I'm excited about it. Well, I'm closer to it than you are. That's only 30 years away. Well, good. Then I'm going to enjoy this time right now, because I want to be in the moment, walking in step with him, because this is what will prepare me for that next chapter. So I don't know what chapters there are in your life, but you can't, if you're going to write the book of your life, you have to write the page you're on, not just get to the end. So enjoy writing the page that you're on. And write it with him. My relationship with God should actually produce peace and rest in my heart. But so often, we find ourselves stirred up. We're not living in peace and rest because we go, I'm missing it. I wish it would work out. I wish I would understand more. Instead of appreciating what you already understand and what you've learned and walking in that step by step. So hopefully I'm making myself clear here. This is a process of growing your faith. We've been given the measure of faith. We've been given the faith of the Son of God, but he wants us to take that faith, and Jesus said that faith is like a mustard seed. Well, he wasn't talking about the size of the seed, even though in the description it says, even though it is the smallest of the seeds, it becomes even a big tree that the birds nest in its branches and it becomes shade. The point of it is that seed, the only way it can become a tree is if it's planted, is if it's acted upon. And so hearing the voice of God requires faith. If you're going to hear him, you're going to have to learn to grow your faith. You need to set your mind on the things of the Spirit. Actually, have you thought about it that there's so many things in our lives that even in our physical bodies that are a direct result of what we set our minds on? And people talk about mind over matter, you know, whatever. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm saying is what you set your mind on is where your focus turns, but also it shifts the attitude of your heart. So you can set your mind on the things of the Spirit or set your mind on the things of the flesh, and it will change your physical circumstances. This is part of hearing God's voice, because there are many times that his voice can argue with the mind of the flesh. So if you're thinking only on the flesh and he speaks something to you and you say, that's not possible. Well, if you only think of the flesh, it isn't possible, but think in the Spirit. The dominant power in the world is the Spirit. The Spirit has always been. The flesh is temporal. The flesh was created, and the flesh has these parameters around it. So I want to read Romans 8, 5 through 11. Romans 8, 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, and I'm going to say the word naturally minded, For to be carnally or naturally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So I'm adding the word natural here. Because the carnal or natural mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh or natural thinking only cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Now, there's a clear distinction here. And so often, like I used to think that carnal, if I'm a carnal person, that means I'm sinful. That's what I used to think. It's not what it means. Sin in the flesh is a carnal action, but to be carnal, the word carne, and you would, I mean, it's like chile con carne. I mean, it's flesh. It's just of the natural things. So Paul is not saying that just if you are carnal, that you're just sinful. He's saying if all you notice is what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, if that's your reality, you're missing the most important thing. We were really like, our culture around here was raised to only value what we can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. If you can't grab it, it's not real. And that's the biggest lie ever. So what you can touch is subject to what you cannot touch. And that's why the message that God has for you when he speaks to you will argue. It will argue with what you can touch, with what you can see. And there's some more verses that describe that. 1 Corinthians 2 says the natural man cannot receive the things of God because they're spiritually discerned. So it requires a different focus on, not just from our mind, but our mind has to be focused on the things of the Spirit, and then that draws our heart into hearing the voice of God. Okay. I want to read 2 Peter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. And this is a reality that you can, if you hear it only in the flesh, you could argue with it. But just think of it in the Spirit. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So he's saying, his divine power, the power of the Spirit, has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. So the two things, life being the natural and godliness being the things in the Spirit, his divine power has given to us all things. So in him we live and move and have our being, on the earth, in the flesh. If we think, first of all, in the Spirit, we have postured ourselves, opened ourselves up to the Lord to hear his voice, and we're less likely to argue with what he says because we're listening with a heart focused on the Spirit. 1 John 4, verses 12 through 18. I want you to hear this I'll just read it and then I'll mention a couple things. No one has seen God at any time. This is 1 John 4:12. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So, the juxtaposition of love and fear, love and fear, love and fear. I mean, I mentioned it last time. I quoted this, but I wanted to read it because the only way that we can actually live in his love is abiding in him. And this is the only way to truly hear his voice. There's so much more than just, oh, I heard him. And I'm going to keep saying this all day. All during this time, I'm going to keep saying this is about relationship. It's about getting into oneness with him. When you abide in him and he in you, there is this divine dance, this connection that you begin to hear things in your heart. Remember I said last time that the what you hear comes from your heart and comes up like this versus your own thoughts, which come like that. If you're not abiding in him, there's a blockage. You won't, like, he'll be trying to speak to you, and your relationship with him opens you up to hear him. If not, you're just going after the message, which is a focus on yourself. The thing of fear versus love, he'll help you through that. I actually had a dream that he helped me to break fear. Okay, so I, as a person, I'm an analytical person. If you look at my personality profile, I'm highly analytical and highly driven. So it's like I'm pegged out on both. But if I think of what I would do when I'm pressed in a situation, my tendency would be to hang back for safety, evaluate it, make sure it's okay, analyze this, and then drive it, go after it. The thing that the Lord was really challenging me on is, it's kind of that thing of driving the dirt bike and just go for it. Don't analyze it. I had this dream where I came into the dream kind of on a path, and I was up on a mountain, and I just started walking. I mean, I was walking on this path, and as I got closer, I could tell. I mean, I'm getting out on the edge, and it's like, and I could see the ocean or water. I mean, there was no end to it, and this path got narrower and narrower until it came out to where it's like, here's the rock face, and the path just stopped. And I'm standing on the edge, and I look down, and there's a boat in the water. And the Lord was with me. I mean, I knew he was with me. He's walking behind me. He's with me. And he says, jump. I'm like, how's no sound? And I even knew I was in a dream. It's kind of weird, but I'm like, don't you know that if you jump in a dream and something happens, it can affect you physically? And he's like, jump. He said, they're waiting on you. I said, how far is that? 450 feet. Oh, it is far. It's not like just 30 feet or something. The boat was really small. And I stood there a long time, and I'm like, finally, I'm like, I can't even get out of this dream until I do this. Like, so I just like shut down my analyzer and just jumped. I mean, pushed off the wall. And you fall for a long ways when it's 450 feet. And I reached terminal velocity, probably doing 90 miles an hour, and I hit the water. I mean, I didn't wake up during this time. It was this, and I opened my eyes underwater, and I was probably 20-some feet down, and I look up, it's all, I mean, clear, bubbles, and I see the bottom of the boat, and I swam up to the boat. And it was exhilarating. It was like, oh, man. And this guy reached over the edge of the boat, and when he grabbed my hand, I woke up. Huh. And I was like, wow, that was a serious, I experienced it. The next night, I had the same dream. And the next night, and the next night, for 9 months, I had the same dream every night. It got to where I would run right off the cliff. I mean, I'd just run. And because it was like, here I am again. Man. And now, the first couple weeks, I still stood there for a while. So I'm like, well, it worked the first time. But what about the second time? What if I belly flop? Like, I felt it. I could feel pain if I hit this wrong. And I had no fear. No fear. And the Lord used a dream to break fear off of me. So I actually experienced that to the level, like, it's like I experienced it truly in the natural. That's my memory of it. It was so real and so, like, if I would stand on the edge of that cliff, I'd jump. No question. In fact, I was standing on the edge of Niagara Falls on the American side. It's all rocks and stuff down there. And I was looking down there, and the Lord said, "Would you jump?" I said, "Don't you test me. Don't tell me." He goes, "Yeah, don't jump." But it was like, he said, "If I tell you to jump, do you think you'd make it?" Now, this is, I'm naturally standing at Niagara Falls. And I said, "This isn't a dream we're talking about. This is for real." Then he said, "Look closer. Look closer." So I'm looking at these rocks. I'm looking at all this water. Have you guys been to Niagara Falls? Oh, perfect. Okay, so this is real. This is like clear. Did you stand on the American side and look? What is it? The little creek. Bridalville? No. Anyway, there's a smaller stream, and then there's American side, and it's like you can stand in the middle of it. And he said, "Look closer." And I'm looking at these rocks, and he said, "Don't look at the rocks." He said, "Look at the flow." And I started looking. There's water flowing between those rocks as big around as this room. He said, "Do you think I could get you through it?" I said, "Man, when I look at the flow of water, I'm not as worried about it." He said, "Now don't jump. But if you do what I say, I will get you through." Now, I have this written down because I'm like, man, this is a real thing for me. It's like I have jumped from high places in the natural into water. Because that's fun for me. That's exciting. That's a it's a rush. But I did it by him leading me through that. And it was for the purpose of me experiencing, like, I experienced his love in that dream for 9 months. He knows how to speak to me. Just because he speaks to me that way doesn't mean he's going to speak to you that way. But he knew how to get the message across to me. Do what I say. Do not fear. I will be with you. So that's my breaking fear story. He's trying to manifest his kingdom in your life. The only way he can do it is if you believe him for it. When he speaks to you, combining that with faith is how you hear him. If you're not willing to grow your faith and attach your faith to the word, you'll dismiss it and it will be powerless. And I think this is where a lot of people stop with it, because they can't actually see it happening yet in the natural. And so they go, I just wish I would have something to validate it. And so they sit in this place of not really acting on it, still wanting to believe and thinking, I think that's probably God, but I'm not sure. I'm going to wait. And they just wait it out. They just sit and wait. I think a lot of people go to the grave that way. Or they reach a point where they go, I knew I should have done that. Well, how did you know? Well, they were hearing him, but they hadn't combined it with their faith. So let's read Hebrews 4, 1 through, boy, I have Hebrews 4, 1 through 12. Just, if you want to just listen, I'll read it. If you want to read along, that's fine. And this is part of having the heart and attitude of rest in relationship with him. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Okay, I'm going to mention something real quick. Let us fear. He's not talking about being afraid. Let us honor and give credence, give weight to this. He uses the word fear, but it's not being afraid. Okay, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. That's the key verse right there. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, "So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, "And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest." Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So here, this whole thing is talking about the word. This is the God-breathed word. When God breathes a word, if you don't mix your faith with it, it will profit you nothing. The power that the word has, the power of the Spirit that it has to act on the natural, is all subject to you mixing your faith with it. Does that make sense? This is a recipe. Even though hearing God is not a recipe or a formula, you have to mix your faith with it. If you hear a word and you wait on it or you dismiss it, somehow you're not mixing your faith with it. He actually calls it disobedience. Lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Disobedience to the word is not actually believing it to the point that you mix your faith with it.